I want you to turn tonight to the 13th chapter of Mark. Now, you remember last week we only covered the first two verses. Tonight we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 13. And last week we began with the title of the study, Unveiling the Future. Tonight we're going to conclude with that title, the conclusion of Unveiling the Future. We're only going to be talking about the first half of the tribulation period here. And so, you'll remember that last week we compared the pride of the Jews for their temple with the attitude and actions that are found, and I'm going to use this term, in the terminal modern church today. Now, when you hear that word terminal, what does it make you think of? Final, okay? Most everybody would agree with that. And I pray that what we shared about the modern church and their comfortableness and their attitude, their unwillingness to change and all of that opened our eyes a bit, enabling us to see that what happened in the Jewish temple can happen and does happen and can happen in any local church today that gets its eyes off the gospel, stops serving Christ, and sits down and just wants to be comfortable. Now, what is the key verse in Mark's gospel? Mark what? 10:45. And Steve, you're turning over there, so I'm going to have you go ahead and read that to us tonight. Mark 10:45. Now, this is very important. We're to serve all of our lives. Not just a part of our lives, not just till we get old and get tired. We're to serve the Lord with all that we have. And our ministries are going to change as we go through the years. But our presence is important in the family of God. You're not ready yet for heaven. If you were, you'd be home. So you can say, thank you, God, I'm not home in heaven. You still got work for me to do. And this is a very important thing that we need to understand. Jesus came to serve, and yet in far too many churches today, people are desiring to rust out rather than wear out for Christ. And so when we begin to look at this, we begin to see ourselves. Again, if you look back, the disciples, they were very impressed. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. We're going to just review very quickly. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And they're proud of the building. They're proud of the stones. And Jesus says, answering, said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. It's people that matter, not the building. And they're proud, and their pride was in a building. What in reaching the lost? Unfortunately, too many churches today are comfortable in their own building, and they're not willing to get out of the building to reach the very people who need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so, when Jesus left the church, and this is his final time in the temple, he's leaving the temple, and the disciples are just marveling at this marvelous building. And Jesus tells them, hey boys, this thing's going down. And when Jesus left the temple, as he did here in Mark 13, we can quickly jump and understand when the Spirit of Christ leaves any church, that church is in trouble, amen? Unless repentance takes place and the people allow God to change their hearts, that church is doomed. There is ever the need for our hearts to constantly be growing in Christ. Every one of us ought to say, He's still a working on me. Unfortunately, the attitude in many of the modern church today is, hey, I've already arrived. I'm just going to kick back and relax. We haven't arrived yet. We're not even home yet. There's more to come. And so unless repentance is it takes place, that church is doomed. And how many churches do you know that were once thriving places, and the people got comfortable, the people got settled, and just gradually over a period of years, that once thriving church went down to its doors are shut? Do you know any churches like that? Have you seen churches like that? I have in my time. What happened? Was it that the people were bad? No, the people stopped serving. And whenever we stop serving, we're in trouble. So they needed to repent. They needed to have their hearts changed. And here's the great news tonight. If we'll repent and allow God to work, any dying church like Martha's brother Lazarus can be raised back to life. That's the power of God at work in any church. Amen. So it all depends on the willingness of the heart. And we know that the Jewish hearts were set on destroying Christ to protect their what? Their religious system. They liked doing church the way they wanted to do church, and they didn't want anybody, Jesus himself, coming in there and saying, hey, you need to change the way you're doing things. They had taken and made God's house a house of a den of thieves, but Jesus said his house is to be called a what? House of prayer. And so Jesus says, guys, this house is coming down. And now he goes on and this leads into what is known by theologians as the Olivet Discourse. In this particular section of this chapter, as we get into this, describes a period of time known as the coming tribulation, the tribulation period. So pick it up, and we want to pick it up in verse 3, and if you'll follow along. In Mark chapter 13, verse 3. Everybody there, amen? And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. And in synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be preached among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. No, the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, these verses here hold much for us because they describe the Old Testament prophets referred to it as the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be a time of wrath. It's going to be a time of indignation, a time of punishment. And Jesus teaches here in Mark 13, the tribulation is going to have three stages. It's going to have a beginning, going to have a middle, going to have an end. And tonight we're going to take up the first half, the beginning, in these verses that we've talked about. And the key statement is at the end of verse 8 here, Mark 13:8. These are the beginning of what? Sorrows. In other words, they're the birth pangs that come suddenly. And they build up gradually. And eventually they're going to lead to a terrible time of sorrow. Jesus listed for us the things that must come. But he also said that these things must not be taken as signs of his comings. Rather, they are indications the tribulation birth pangs are beginning. So when we look at our world today, when we look at our own nation today, when we look at what is taking place today, and we understand the hour in which we're living, we know that the birth pangs have begun. When did they begin? In earnest, in 1948, when Israel became a nation in one day, just as Isaiah prophesied, a nation shall be born again in one day. Jesus said of that generation, when Israel became a nation again in one day, just as Isaiah prophesied, that that nation, that generation would not pass away. We know that the Bible, the psalmist said, that a man's life is 70 and 10. In other words, the average lifespan of a man is about 70 years. We're in the year 2020. 2018 was 70 years since Israel became a nation. The natural lifespan of that generation, friends, is beginning to what? Pass away, die away. And then we can talk about many other things. Jesus said, first of all, don't be deceived. And so you need to know what God's Word says. And I can't stress this enough. I hope that you are an avid Bible reader. Not just an avid Bible listener to somebody like me who reads a few passages or words in God's Word, and that's all you get for the week. You need to read it every day. Don't be deceived. He says there will be false signs of false Christ. There's going to be nations in conflict. Who's a false Christ that you know in your lifetime that led many people astray and many people to their death? Jim Jones. Hitler. Yeah, from a secular sense. Jim Jones. You know. Think of all these people who have had other people follow them right to their deaths. Signs of false Christ. Setting themselves up as something to be worshipped. Nations will be in conflict. Religious persecutions are happening. Do you realize that in our generation today, there's more religious persecution than in any previous generation to date? People are being martyred and killed for their faith. And it's always happened over there. But now it's here. See, we never really had to think about that before, but now we do. It is here. Religious persecutions are happening. I don't know if you know this or not. They allowed riots to take place in Seattle, but they would not allow the religious gatherings to take place on Labor Day in Seattle. We're hearing this more and more. Right now, we know that there is a movement in one faction of our society that wants to rid God out of society. But just think about the things that we have done in society. In 2004, there was a movement to try to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. In 2020, one of the conventions that is voting took God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Twice. There was a movement not too long ago. They wanted to get In God We Trust off our currency. We've already told God we don't need you. You don't know what you're talking about when it comes to sex and marriage. And the Supreme Court voted to license all sin. Trying to get God out of America. Disturbances are happening. Religious persecutions are happening. They've always been with us in every generation, but what makes our generation the last generation before the coming tribulation? What evidence can we point to? We can look at what Jesus says right here. It's the fact that these things are accelerating. and they're accelerating at a significant speed, especially since the year 2000. I love history, so I'm always looking back because it helps me look forward. You may not be aware of this, but since the year 2000, there have been 25,535 tornadoes in the United States alone. There have been 21 major floods. There have been 18 major winter storms. In the United States alone, counting hurricanes along with the things just mentioned and wildfires, since the year 2000, there have been today 85 major disasters alone that has cost $1.754 billion to rebuild. Around the globe, since the year 2000, there have been 36 large-scale wars. Since the year 2000, there have been 57 major conflicts, and some are even raging to now, and they're right on our streets here in America, aren't they? In the United States alone, we not only fight terrorism from without, we fight terrorism from within. There have been 167 shooters since the year 2000 who have murdered 1,905 men, women, and children right here in the United States. Famines have occurred around the globe that is affecting millions of people. And the pages of history are filled with the tragic stories of false messiahs and prophets with their deluded disciples. In the pages of history are filled with all of that. And Jesus, Paul, and John all warned us about them in the Holy Scriptures. Mark Twain said, "A lie runs around the world while truth is putting on her shoes." If you don't know what the Bible teaches, you are spiritually blind when you need to be spiritually awake. Spiritually blind people will follow anybody who's popular, who teaches erroneous ideas about the gospel, erroneous solutions for the problems of life. Wars, we know, often cause famines. The Bible teaches that. Famines also occur because of man's abuse of the environment, or God will send them as judgments. Not only were the believers not to be deceived, Jesus said they were also not to be discouraged. You know, when I share statistics like that, as you hear them, maybe you're hearing them for the first time, and maybe you're thinking, oh man, this world is not our what? There's a better home awaiting. These are the beginnings of a birth pain, and you and I as Christians, we're on our way. Christ is coming. And the command here is to take heed. Don't be deceived. And man, I tell you, there are people out there who can sound so convincing. Amen. Now, I don't want to mention any names, but I can think of a man who's wonderful at telling stories. Got a large following. Matter of fact, you got to buy tickets to go to his church. You might not get in for a while because a lot of people are buying tickets to go swallow some false Kool-Aid. And it's rampant in society today. False teaching. Every person who teaches the gospel, teaches Sunday school, preaches, needs to study, as the Bible says, to show themselves a workman approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we're to take heed. We're to avoid deceivers. We're not to get caught up in useless religious arguments. We need to take heed to ourselves. The command "take heed" means to do what? What does it mean to take heed? Pay attention. Know what the Bible teaches. Why then must they take heed to themselves? because they would be facing increased persecution from both official and personal sources. You hear it on television. This is the most important election of our what? Of our lifetime. We're hearing that everywhere you go today. Listen on the radio, watch it on Fox News, watch it on any newscast. You're hearing this over and over again. Both parties are preaching, saying this. This is the most important election of your lifetime. Could also be the last election of our lifetime. But friends, tomorrow morning, if God gives you another day and you wake up and eat breakfast, that's going to be the most important breakfast of your lifetime because you may not get another one. So everything that we face is the most important thing of our lifetime because we're not guaranteed another moment and Jesus is coming soon. The command to take heed means to pay attention, be awake. Paul wrote to the Romans, now it is time to awake out of sleep, for salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Every moment, 3 seconds from now, your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. Do you know what God has said in His Word? Do you understand the indications that we're in the middle of these birth pains? Don't be deceived. Know what the Bible says. You and I are going to face increased persecution. That's a given. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will also do what to you? You need to understand you're going to face persecution. It's coming. It's not a matter of when it's coming, it's a matter of it is coming. Just as we preach and talk about the rapture of the church, hallelujah for it. But we also must understand that we're tribulating even now. We're in the beginning of these things. Do you realize that Jesus said there will become, in Matthew's gospel, he said there will become diseases where we're not going to have answers. What do we experience in 2020? The very thing. Isn't it interesting? When God wants to stop the world, He can do it. That's how you know God is real. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for Him. And the whole world has been affected by this current pandemic. And it's hard to know what's true, isn't it? Because you have so much falsehood that is out there that you really don't know. You know, you hear everything from, is this an election hoax? Is this really real? You just don't know because nobody seems to want to share the truth. Maybe they don't know. But we need to pay attention. Nobody wants to suffer persecution. Do they? I mean, we don't want to suffer, period. But I hope you realize that if God counts you worthy to suffer, you need to rejoice because in our suffering, we are proclaiming the gospel. God uses persecution for proclamation. When you suffer for God's sake, He says, don't be discouraged. You are proclaiming the gospel by your stand. The question then becomes for us, do we know enough of God's word that we will stand for what God has said? Why do so many people fall prey to false teachers? It's because they do not know what God has said, so they do not know where to stand. That makes sense? How can you stand if you don't know where to stand? How can you stand if you don't know what to stand for? This is the Word of God, the truth. God says what's coming. We need to stand on this. But the only way we can stand on it is if we know it. Amen? Thank God for the Sunday school teachers we have here in this church. They study. They come prepared. They're encouraged. They excite us with their teaching. Thank God for them. And we also need to come prepared, every bit as much as they. We need to come prepared with an ear that will hear, with a heart that will receive. We must always ever be teachable. We need to be obeying God. And God says, take heed, lest ye what? Fall. And so, rejoice and remember this when you suffer persecution. The only success that some people will ever have in life is when they take a bite out of you. So, the blood of Christians is seed, friends. And it's not easy to face courts or governors or kings. But Jesus said, don't worry about those things. The Holy Spirit would minister to them and through them. Well, if the Holy Spirit's going to do it for them, will He not do it for us? Certainly He will when we stand on the truth. If we are walking in the Spirit, we will have no trouble bearing witness for Christ when the opportunities arise. The opportunities are around us every day. Are our eyes open enough to recognize them when they come? What is the real cause of persecution? And I want you to look with me here again at verse 13, because that's where the answer is found. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. What's the cause of persecution? Christ's namesake. When you stand with Christ, you can expect to be treated as the world treated Christ. If they persecuted me, Jesus said, they will also what? Persecute you. Now, since the end of Mark 13:7 means the end of the age, it means the same thing here in verse 13. During the tribulation, the true believers will prove their faith by their faithfulness. But that goes for every age. It's easy to say, I'm a Christian. It's easy to say, I'm saved. It's hard to live as a Christian. It's hard to live what you claim unless the Spirit truly lives inside of you. That makes sense to everybody? Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. True believers bear the marks of a disciple. They prove their faith by their faithfulness. You know, one of the things that occurs in every age, but perhaps more so now today than ever before, is that people grow weary in doing what's right. And God's given us a promise even for that, because God understands where we're at. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to grow weary. It's easy when you think you're doing the best you can and you look around and it doesn't seem like anybody else is pulling their weight. Amen? And so God has given us this wonderful promise in Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What are some of the things that cause us to grow weary? Yeah, persecution you may be enduring. What else causes us to grow weary? Negativity. That'll wear you out in a heartbeat. Isn't that true, Marty? What else causes you to grow weary? Unjust criticism. Yeah. James, if you're facing any of that, just remember crows only pick at the best fruit. You're all right. But, you know, I want to challenge you with this. Think about those things that make you grow weary. And then remember God's promise. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we see these tribulation pangs, as we've been going through this COVID, as it has changed our lives. Literally. In so many ways. I mean, we just can't pack up and go as a group right now anywhere. That's changed. We can't do certain things. Certain things have been taken away, if you will. It's easy to grow weary, but remember God's promise. In due season, we're going to reap. Understand the time of life that we're in. Everything that is taking place should be taking place because God has a calendar. And on God's calendar, he said there will be a time. There will be a time when the birth pains will begin. There will be a time when I'm going to call my church out of the world at the rapture. There will be a time of tribulation, a time of Jacob's trouble. There will be a time of the great tribulation. There will be a time of the millennial kingdom that we're hearing about in my Sunday school class upstairs. There's going to be a time. Well, friends, we're on that time. We're on God's calendar. We're moving in God's time toward these things that we have heard all of our lives. You know, I shared this a few times ago, but you've probably heard me say this at least once. I have heard about the rapture as far back as I can remember, probably since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. My father has talked about the rapture all of his life. He talked about it daily. He talked about it weekly. He prayed about it. He's been looking forward to it. My daddy's 85 years old. And when I talk to him or he texts me or calls me, the first thing on his lips is, "Get ready. Christ is coming soon." I'm 63 years old. I've heard that all my life. It'd be easy to say, "Oh, Daddy, you've been talking about that all your life. It ain't happened yet. When's it going to happen?" No. We know it's going to happen. Because it's written right in here. Every day is the most important day of our lives. To take heed and be certain we know what we're standing on and who we're standing with and who we're standing for and who undergirds us. Friends, we're standing on a solid rock and his name is Jesus Christ. Let us be faithful, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Brother Clarence, would you close us in prayer tonight, sir?